On the phone, we've got someone else who will be on the radio, but on the radio this Saturday night, it's Phil Klein, who hosts the Unsilent Night event that's all over the world, but it will be in Hudson this coming Saturday night. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great to have you here this morning. Can you explain to our listeners what Unsilent Night is?
Well, Unsilent Night is a piece that I wrote in 1992. Around that time, I was working with large numbers of tape players and boomboxes, using them in pieces, in installations, in sound sculptures. And I had an idea of doing something that was akin to Christmas caroling, but a piece where I would make a multi-track piece and then isolate the tracks and give people cassettes that had the different tracks on them, and then when we played them together, they would all make this like huge sound collage. And it worked out so well that we decided to do it the next year in New York, and we've done it every year since. And then over the years, people started hearing about it and asking me about doing it in other towns. I think at this point, well, this year we had 39 cities in the United States and Canada. And I think at this point there have been, you know, somewhere between 400 and 500 total performances of Unsilent Night over the last 20 years. And we did it in Hudson last year. It was last year it was part of the Winter Walk, and this year we're doing it in conjunction with the Wave Farm. And we decided to do it all by itself and go a little. We're going to do it a little bit different this year. Instead of just going up and down Warren Street, we're going to crisscross and go through alleyways and, you know, like little hidden areas of Hudson. So it should be very interesting.
And you're part-time in Columbia County, so this is sort of a home?
Yes. For a while we had a place in Copaic, but then we moved up to Spencertown. So we're about 20 minutes out of Hudson. We're in Hudson all the time. As a matter of fact, I just took part in R.B. Schlatter's The Mother of Us All at Hudson Hall. So, it's great to be. I also did I was part of the drone at the Basilica.
24-hour drone, yeah.
I'm getting more and more into, living and working in Hudson, just like I do in New York.
So you go to these your home Unsilent Nights in Hudson and in New York City. How many of the other ones do you get to?
It depends. Normally, I only go to the ones close by, unless somebody really, you know. This year, actually, I did one in Breckenridge, Colorado, elevation 9,600 feet. They have a music festival there. And so, you know, they were able to bring me out there as a visiting artist, and, you know, we did workshops and stuff, and that was a lot of fun. Normally, I mean, I always do the one in New York, and I also went to the one in North Adams, Massachusetts, which has become a successful one the last couple of years. So there's only so much time. On the weekends, there are usually 4, 5, or 6 Unsilent Nights going on simultaneously in different cities, so I do what I can.
And I guess you did this before the Flaming Lips did the Zurika project, I guess, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure how many years before, but I had been doing Unsilent Night for a few years when somebody asked me about the Flaming Lips thing, and I didn't know anything about it. I've never heard it, but what was it they did? They had member people in the audience playing tracks on
Well, they actually,
something?
Warner Brothers released 4 CDs that you're meant to... I bring this up because you have 4 cassette tapes, right? Or 4 sound sources, is that right?
Yes, that was simply because at the time, when I first started the piece, the first version that I wrote, I did on what was called a Porta Studio. Do you remember those?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, Tascam made these really nice little completely enclosed, you know, you could pretty much produce a record as long as you were okay with cassette fidelity. And it made a 4-track piece. And so I thought, okay, that's it. This is a 4-track piece, and I'll hand out 4 of them. It seems like the right number.
Yeah, the Flaming Lips is 4 CDs that you are meant to press the play button at the same time, but you don't quite always do that. So it's always a sort of different performance, which I guess is similar to pressing the cassette.
It's impossible for them to start together, and even if they started together, they wouldn't end together. So yeah, chaos is built in.
And people who want to come out to the public square on this Saturday night, 6:30 or 6:45 beforehand, you don't necessarily have to bring a boombox. You certainly can bring a cassette playing boombox, but you don't have to. Is that right?
Yes. Well, I'll be bringing 24 of my own. I'll also be bringing extra cassettes for people who bring some sort of boombox or cassette player. But nowadays, the majority of the people who take part, and I certainly saw this in New York last week, is to download the MP3 or the... There's an app, too, so you can play it on your phone. If you go to unsilentnight.com, it has a whole how-to-do kit where you can just, you know, download or stream the track, one of the tracks, you know, put it in your phone, stream it from your phone, and then just, you know, hook it up with a Bluetooth speaker, and you go, I mean, actually, that's the way I play the piece these days. It's just with my phone, and I've got a Bluetooth boombox. It's a fairly hefty portable Bluetooth speaker. But, yeah, if they bring a boombox, I've got tapes, and if they don't, they can have one of mine, or, I mean, at least for an hour.
And do people think you're carolers when you're walking around dark city streets in December?
Well, they don't know what it is, but, I mean... Of course, in New York, you know, I'm used to having people just walk by as if nothing was happening. And in New York, we're talking about a case where you've got, you know, 500 or 600 people walking down, you know, the street or the avenue, making this sound that's all over the place. But they mainly go, "Wow, what's this?" you know, I guess it. I suppose it sounds Christmassy, but it doesn't sound like, you know, the Christmas carols you hear in the shopping mall too much.
And it sounds Christmassy because the sounds are bells and such, or
well, there's bells. There's a lot. I know the beginning of it. It's you know, I mean, I did. It's almost all either samples or synthesizers. And yeah, they're you know, hear it. It's like a really beautiful sound cloud that kind of glitters, and then there are also parts that are darker and more mysterious, but. That's also part of the mood of Christmas, you know, like things happening in the night, you know, or depending on, you know, who or what you believe in. But
everyone hangs lights because it's the darkest time of the year. Literally, yesterday was the darkest day of the year, right?
Yeah. I mean, I always tell people, hey, it's not a coincidence that Christmas is right next to the solstice, you know. But sure, it's about all of that. It's about the feelings that a kid or anybody might have at that time of year. And I suppose since I've been living in New York, I grew up in a little town in Ohio, but growing up, you know, being in New York when I wrote it, there's also, I don't know, New York at night at Christmas time only heightens both the good and the bad feelings that you might have. So I think I wrote the piece as kind of a free gift, you know, just a free musical gift that's out there in the air and anybody can be in it or listen to it.
And this is not an excuse to dress up in Santa costumes and get drunk and run wild in the streets, right?
Well, as a matter of fact, the first time we encountered SantaCon was, I can't remember, it might have been like 2002 or something like that, and it was the only time we ever had like really something like a pouring rain in New York. And I was really worried about, you know, who would show up. And then a few minutes before I was supposed to be picked up by, you know, my van guy to get my boomboxes, he calls and says, "Oh, my truck broke down. I can't come." And so I had to flag down cabs, and I arrived, you know, like 20 minutes after the piece was supposed to start, and it's pouring rain. And there was a crowd in Washington Square. And then when I got closer, I realized there were like these crazy drunken Santas soaking wet. They were juggling, they were dancing, they were kissing each other, and I was like, oh, thank God for you guys, you know, you like warmed up the audience, kept them here, everybody's having a good time, and we got along just great. But then as SantaCon developed, you know, I just really like, please, I don't want to step over any more puking Santas, you know. And so I would try to actually schedule it on a day that wasn't SantaCon, but then something, long story, but by accident, we had to move one of them to a Sunday recently, and then I realized, perfect, SantaCon's always on a Saturday, so as long as we have it on a Sunday, we won't have to deal with this. I mean, God bless the Santas. I just don't really want to have them be in the same...
Yeah, there's actually Santas on the mountain up here that all ski. I think it was last week or the week before that all ski. There's a skiing Santa thing, but...
Oh, yeah. When I was in Breckenridge in Colorado, it's a ski resort, among other things, and I remember oh, somebody there asked me what I did, and I explained what On Silent Night was. And he says, well, me and my buddies, we get together and do shot runs. And I said, shot runs? He says, yeah, we run, you know, we do a ski run, then we have a shot, and then we do another ski run, then we have another shot. I'm like, okay.
And whoever's left at the end does not run into a tree.
Yeah, nothing like the combination of high-speed, impact, dangerous sports, and alcohol.
And have you ever gotten four lowriders together with big bass boom boxes in the, you know, in the back and driven along with On Silent Night with lowriders or?
Kind of, not lowriders, but there was this guy who for years would come to the New York On Silent Night. I think he moved to Portland, Oregon, but he had one of those Cushman carts, you know, those little, like, you know, security guards at a college might, you know, the kind of little cart that they drive around campus on. And he had one of those, and it's got like a little flatbed on the back of it. And he put a big system on it, and he would ride around with On Silent Night, providing a massive bass. It was great. But, yeah, no, technically no low riders.
And Hudson, you might get circus clowns on unicycles, so you never know what you might get, right?
That's cool. Yeah, we've had skaters. We have had unicycles. Actually, this year in New York, the number of people who came in costumes was way up. We had people who like were wearing lights and candy canes, and it was great.
So you encourage costuming for On Silent Night?
Yeah, it's not even that I encourage it. It just happens, and it's cool.
And again, this all is this Saturday night. You can meet up at the Public Square at 7th and Columbia at 6:30 or 6:45. And I guess come dressed warm because it may be leftover rain. Or it sounds like the rain's going to end by the afternoon.
I'm hoping so, yeah. I mean, it looked like it wasn't going to be too cold a day, but possibly drizzly. But it'll be a very light drizzle. We're going to play it by ear. My feeling is we'll probably, you know, get slightly wet, but it'll be great.
And it's not going to get called off. It's going to happen rain or shine?
The only reason we would have to call it off would be if there was a really big change in the weather forecast. I mean, I know in a couple of days they're calling for like 8, 9, 10 inches of snow, but that shouldn't be happening at all this weekend.
So. Yeah, and mostly... you know, your worst case scenario is people don't drive to get to On Silent Night. They can stay home and listen on the radio, but the people in Hudson can just walk out to get to it.
Yeah, and if you know, if we get to Public Square and the forecast is changed and it's really raining, you know, we might just say, okay, let's all just go to the Spotty Dog, which is where there's an after party. So,
yes, as that the Spotty Dog Christmas show starts on the radio and at the Spotty Dog in person at 6 p.m. And then we'll break away on the radio and go to On Silent Night at 7 and then go back to Spotty Dog at 8 p.m. And that's where you guys will go for a drink afterwards?
Yep, I think that's the idea. And I was going to say, I don't want to issue a challenge, but the only On Silent Night that has ever been canceled due to weather was in Whitehorse, Yukon, in northern Canada, where they had to stop it because it was 40 degrees below zero and the cassettes would not play.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that really happened. What? I asked how many people showed up for this, and they said, oh, five.
I've always wondered what temperature cassettes don't play at anymore, and so it's negative 40?
Well, I think that was the second one they had, and the other year it was only 20 or 30 below. I mean, I have been in weather like that, but never standing outside with a boombox. But, yeah. Apparently that's it, 40.
All right, anything else that we've left out that people should know about On Silent Night?
I don't think so.
All right, just come on out Saturday night, meet at 6:30, 6:45-ish at the Public Square in Hudson, and you're going to walk the back alleys and side streets, and where do you end up? Does it end up at the Spotty Dog?
That little park, I guess they call it Promenade Park or something like that.
Down
at the bottom of Hudson Street by the river.
By the train station and near Basilica.
Yeah, a little bit up from the train station, yeah.
Up where the flagpole is, right, at Promenade.
Yeah, right at the bottom of Warren Street. Also.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, thank you for talking to us today, Phil, and we'll be listening on the radio Saturday night, December 23rd at 7 p.m., and get there a few minutes early to get all situated and set, and We're going to be getting some more boom boxes today together to bring out. So there should be some extra boom boxes, but you can also go to, what's the website?
OnTheSilentNight.com.
And there's an app there you can download, and there's sound files you can download if you want to bring your cell phone and Bluetooth speaker, or they have these little devices that make cell phones louder, like little megaphone things. So there's all anything you can do to add a little noise to Hudson Saturday night.
Absolutely.
All right, Phil Klein, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
And thank you for bringing Unsilent Night to Hudson again.